And good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know if you can see back here buried behind all of this music, but this is Pastor Dan. For those of you who have been here a minute, you'll remember Pastor Dan served this church faithfully for 8 years and left it in amazing condition. Did leave me with a few projects. I'm looking at you. but at the same time, Pastor Dan is going to come play the piano for us this summer. He's excited. I'm excited. Are you excited?
Yeah.
Well, good. Let's stand and sing Lift High the Cross. All right. I like it. We start clapping after each song. It's gonna be fun. It'd be nice to have a little bit of energy in here. While you're standing, may I again say good morning, and I'm glad you're here. And of all the churches that you could have picked, including maybe one of your favorites, one of my favorites, St. Mattress, appreciate you being here this morning. Of all the options you have, you can find a church that will cater to just about anything that you want. Here at Bayshore Gardens Community Church, we are focusing on just two things. Remind me of what those two things are. That's it. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to love on others. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them good morning, would you? All right. I'd like to encourage you that you may sit. I'd like to invite our young people down to this area right here. Think we got them? All right, Sal, we're moving on to the next thing. But you can catch up with George and Lori at breakfast after church is done. Right? He loves you too. Yes, right here. How are y'all doing this morning? Good? Hey, just for everybody else, I was wondering if we might take a pause and you tell us the things, because it's been 6 months now that we've been doing Sunday school, maybe a little bit more. And so tell me, what are the best things, the things that you appreciate the most about having your very own Sunday school? Aiden, thanks for raising your hand. I saw your hand too. Having fun? Thank goodness, because if you went there and it was boring, would you want to go back necessarily? No, right? But you don't have a choice. You can get up? And projects? Getting up, doing projects? Okay, I'm trying to remember whose hand. I'm going to default to it. Having God and talking about God. You like that? Me too. Awesome. Yeah, was that Easter? That you guys did a portrait, a painting of Jesus on the cross, the crucifixion scene. Is it still in the Sunday school classroom? Maybe one time could we maybe borrow it and put it up in here so everybody could see what a cool painting that was? I think that would, or maybe in fellowship hall everybody could see it. Anyway, if we could borrow it just for like an hour, we'll give it back, I promise. Well, I'm glad you're having a good time and you're learning things. Your Sunday school teachers today, right, Joanne and Miss Brenny. You want to pray first? Let's pray. You can repeat after me. We'll make it easy that way. Dear God, thank you for loving me. Help me to love you and love others, especially my Sunday school teachers. Amen. Have a great morning. You are dismissed. We'll catch up with you at breakfast. There's a saying. I'm going to let you fill in the blank for me. Misery loves. Right, and y'all have heard me lament and bellyache that sometimes, and Pastor Dan, you know this, when these lights are all kicked on, it's a few degrees warmer. It's like 100 degrees warmer up here, maybe 150 than it is down there. Thank you for catching the hyperbole. There is a gentleman working on the air conditioner right now to make sure that you are in a climate-controlled environment, and you can hang in there. You're okay. You can fan yourselves, and we got any gentlemen in jackets today? I was going to say, you can take your jackets off. Pastor Dan, you can, Are you wearing the sleeveless shirt underneath today? I thought so. We coordinated. Neil, I know it would be against protocol, but if you wanted to take off the jacket, if you get a little bit warm. At any rate, he's working on it. We'll get you there. And it is what it is. You ever had air conditioning problems at your house? Oh, so you already know the drill. All right, cool. We're fine. The call to worship this morning is from Psalm 57. We'll read responsively. And I'll say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. And you will say,
I will sing praises to you among the nations.
For your steadfast love is great to the heavens. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. That is our call to worship. Its purpose is to draw our focus. That this morning's worship service is about God. It's about giving praise to God. It's not really so much about what I want or what you want, but it's mostly about what God wants for you. Now, when I make it about what I want, or when you make it about what you want, it doesn't take too long before we get off course a little bit. Have you ever gotten off course? I have gotten off course. I might have a PhD in getting off course. You've heard me a bajillion times, that's probably an accurate number, tell you that I'm broken, I'm wounded, I make mistakes, I'm a mess. Am I the only one in the room or anybody else? Let's go. Half of you are honest this morning, which is a little bit above the curve, so I'm feeling pretty good about our chances this morning. At any rate, that's why we have this prayer of confession, so that we can take a moment and say, God, I need you. I need the forgiveness. I need that rescue. I need that salvation. So I'll invite you to pray the unison prayer with me. That's going to be followed by some quiet time, some you and God time. And Harriet will play softly. And you're welcome to pray a prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of confession. You're welcome to meditate. If you need to take a nap, you get about 29 seconds. So let's join together in the prayer of confession. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from the grave and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not always bowed before him or acknowledged his rule in our lives. We have gone along with the way of the world and failed to give him glory. Forgive us and raise us from sin, that we may be your faithful people, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is head of the church, his body. Lord, hear our prayers. Let us enter into quiet prayer. Listen and hear. These are the words of assurance, and this is the pardon of the gospel of Jesus Christ from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing together. I love to tell the story.
Thank you.
Hey, something I was just figuring out when I was in the back singing. It's cooler back there. Meaning, if you're, before you sit down, if you're hot, you're fanning yourself, and you want to grab a chair and sit back there so that you don't get overcome with the heat, that would be okay. Otherwise, you may be seated. Just want to give you that opportunity. The proclamation of Scripture today is from Ephesians chapter 1. There was something that in our six-week sermon series, which we pressed pause on for Easter, that I wished that I could have spent a whole Sunday on and got a little bit of feedback along those lines at the coffee with the pastor. And so, guess what? Easter's over. Sermon series is over. Now I can go back a little bit. And this Sunday's premise, when you walk by the iPad, Dan, what you got to do is you got to lean in and wave to Melinda next time. So, yeah. It's this way. It's facing at me, right? So it's, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, that's good. Melinda, Donna, Raj, that's Pastor Dan waving. I suppose we ought to say hello to the internet viewing audience every Sunday. That would be a nice way. Why don't you guys tell them good morning?
Good morning.
Yeah, that was specific. I like that. It was not a generalized good morning. The idea of this morning's teaching is that God has made you unique, given you a very specific shape so that you, in serving Him, one, are free to be you and not somebody else. But the part of God's plan and purpose is that by being who God has made you to be, that you are shining this little light of mine, that you are making the world a better place, that you are obeying the will and desire of God. And so shape, we're going to talk about your shape. Not that shape. Don't squirm just yet. Shape is an acronym, okay? And the S of shape, well, it's in your outline. We've continued the outline process. I can't promise we're going to do that forever. I know Pastor Dan was really good about doing outlines, and I know you appreciate him for that. Making outlines is not part of my shape. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Long ago, even before he made the world, so imagine, far, far away, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. A second familiar passage that is not on the screen, but many of you love Psalm 139. And I'm going to share that with you, just verses 13 through 16. The psalmist says this, "O God, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." Pause there, and maybe turn to the person next to you and go, "You are wonderfully complex." Have you ever thanked God for making you wonderfully complex? I never have. Reading this passage this week, I went, I need to have a little bit of gratitude. It is amazing to think about. "Oh God, your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born, and you scheduled each day of my life before I even began to breathe." Psalm 139. My friends, this passage indicates that God has shaped you for a purpose. That's the first fill-in. Number two, that just as you have suspected, you are unique. Of course, a synonym for unique might be strange, weird. one of a kind. They broke the mold. God has shaped you for a purpose. Number two, you are unique. And number three, we're going to hold on to this one for just a minute. You are wonderfully complex. Isn't that fun to think about? I mean, you are complex, but wonderfully so. Ephesians chapter 2, and this is a passage that is dear to me, tells us we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are God's workmanship. I want you to wrestle with something inside. Would God make garbage? No. Would God make a piece of junk and go, eh, we're going to call that Dustin? It's tempting with the low self-esteem to think about sometimes, isn't it? God, did you make a mistake? Did you call in sick that day? You are God's workmanship. Now, your purpose is that you were created in Christ to do good. Right? The shape that we're fixing to talk about, that's a fixing. The shape that we're fixing to talk about is in order for you to do good. Okay, so you're most going to feel that you are in God's will when you're doing good works. Not off in seclusion, not doing your own thing, not I'm going to get mine. But when the focus is God and doing good works because we are God's workmanship in Christ. There was a sad day at the previous home that we lived in. And there was an air conditioning issue. Kind of like we're having today. Except the float switch in the drip pan was faulty. And so it kept dripping. Right? And the pan kept filling up. It kept filling up. And it kept filling up. Well, we were on vacation. So it just kept filling up and just going and just going. And the air conditioner goes, all right, I'm going to keep working. Look at all the water I'm making. Well, someone from the church popped in to take in the mail, check on the house, make everything was okay. Recognized, something's wrong here. I'm going to shut down the air conditioning. This is in the Florida Keys in August. Just a little bit hot and humid. House full of water, air conditioner shut off. We walked in the house. You could feel, taste, smell the mold, right? And we took it, you know, we took it down to the studs, and I don't know what you do to clean that up, but it was a process, right? But the sad part of that was that there we had this wall in the house of artwork of the children, not expensive artwork, but irreplaceable artwork, right? And pictures that just didn't look like anything except a bunch of paint slopped on a piece of paper, you know? And one of the kids would go, well, that's a rhinoceros. And I would go, mm-hmm, I know, yeah, that's a good rhinoceros. It's riding a surfboard. I see that now, right? And it's got a bluebird. The rhinoceros is on a surfboard and he's got a bluebird on his shoulder. I go, awesome, right? But that's not exactly what it looked like to just the common eye, right? But I loved that workmanship that my children cranked out before they could barely even hold the paintbrush, right? I was so proud, you know? Never did I go down this road of going, yep, that's the next Picasso right there. That's my kid. I was going, well, they sure do love orange. But I was proud of that workmanship. God is proud of his workmanship. You are God's workmanship. You are not a mistake. You were built exactly how God is wanting to make you to do good works in this world. You are wonderfully complex. You are this composite of many different factors summarized in this acronym, SHAPE. S, spiritual gifts. I'm going to allude, I'm going to tell you later that this SHAPE acronym, along with the small group study that we're doing right now, came out of Saddleback Church. And they've created a website that you can take a SHAPE test, and it's free. It is going to take you about 7-8 minutes. And part of that test is going to assess, what are your spiritual gifts? Have you considered, and maybe you have, that you have spiritual gifts that the body of Christ, God's family, the church, needs? S, spiritual gifts. H, any guesses? Heart. Your heart is unique. There are things about which you are passionate about that maybe some others are not. A, abilities. Can you imagine how amazing the church would be if everyone could play the organ and the piano like Harriet and Dan? Just music all the time, right? But Sal, do you have that gift? I don't either. You don't want to hear me play the organ. I mean, maybe you do, but it's not good. We all have different abilities. The crew that goes back there, this amazing crew that goes back there and makes breakfast every week, do you appreciate them? Yes, absolutely. Can everybody cook like that?
No.
P, personality. We've got some characters in this church, do we not? Including your ringleader. There are just some really cool personalities. That's on purpose. And then E, this is a fun one. Experience. Your story is your story. Maybe somebody else has a story that for a season mirrors part of that. Maybe some of your struggles someone else has gone through, but your story is your story. You're the only one who's got that story. God uses all of those experiences to put together your shape. So we're going to go through them one by one. I will encourage you, if you find it helpful, to take notes. If you don't find it helpful, don't do that. The Bible teaches that God gives every believer certain spiritual gifts to be used in ministry. And in that spot for you to take notes, you can write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 8, and Ephesians chapter 4. However, spiritual gifts are only one part of the picture. Sometimes spiritual gifts are often overemphasized to the neglect of other equally important factors. Right? Natural abilities that you were born with. Well, those also came from God. So do your experiences and your personality traits. God, our Creator, planned all of these factors together. Now, I don't know if you've been a part of a church. I've been a part of a church that did the process backwards. And they say, discover your spiritual gifts, and then you'll know what ministry, what service area, what program that you're supposed to be part of. I think most churches do it that way. Does it surprise you at all that here's Dustin pushing against it and going, just because that's the way it's always been done doesn't make it right? No, that doesn't surprise you at all. What if we did the exact opposite? If you just started plugging in to different ministries and then discover which ones you like. I mean, have you ever bought a vehicle, car, truck? Did you take it for a test drive first? I do. I bought my truck, I test drove it. I drove it like I stole it. That salesman didn't know what he said. This is not a Ferrari, sir. I said, I know. I just want to make sure it doesn't fall apart. Right? I also drove vehicles that I went, no, that's not for me. If I'm going to bang my head on the ceiling every time I hit a speed bump, I'm going to be furious. I'm going to set this thing on fire. I don't want it. So take some of the programs in this church for a test drive. Right? Think, well, you know what? Maybe I'd like to make coffee on a Sunday morning. maybe I'd like to, you know, do some cooking. And then Saturday night, you go, nope, I don't think I want to do cooking. That didn't turn out too good. I probably shouldn't feed this to people. You know, maybe you say, hey, maybe once a month I could hop in and help one of the Sunday school teachers. I don't want to do it every week, but I could do it every once in a while. Let me take that for a test drive. Boy, I sure appreciate when I walk in the church and somebody says good morning to me and hands me a bulletin. Isn't that wonderful? Every week, you're smiling, you're gracious. You would train somebody in case you ever wanted to take a Sunday off, right? Yeah. You wanted to go on vacation, whatnot. You wanted to go to St. Mattress, right? You could hand out bulletins and say good morning. Some of you maybe don't want to get up that early. That's cool. Don't take that for a test drive then. Until you actually get involved in serving, you're not going to know what you're good at or what you enjoy. When we get back with the choir, take the choir for a test drive. Spiritual gifts. You've got them. I gave you the passages to read up on them. Heart. The Bible uses the term heart to represent the very center of your motivation, your desires, and your interests. Your heart determines why you say the things you do. The cross reference on that is Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. The heart determines why you feel the way you do. Take a look at Psalm 34, verse 7. And why you act the way you do. Proverbs 4, verse 23. From a physiological standpoint, each one of us has a unique heartbeat. Bum, 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 bum. Each person has a slightly different pattern. And likewise, God has given each of us a unique emotional heartbeat that races when we encounter certain activities, subjects, circumstances that interest us. Another word for heart is passion. There are certain things about which you feel passionate, very passionate. And that same thing, there are other folks that could care less about it, right? That's okay. That's your passion. God had a purpose in giving you those interests. Your emotional heartbeat reveals a very important key to understanding His intentions for your life. Do not ignore your natural interests. People rarely excel at tasks they do not enjoy. People who we call high achievers, they love what they're doing. Find something that you love and do that. Right? I mean, you wouldn't want to come to church and be miserable and go, well, I guess this is my lot in life, would you? No. End that test drive. Go on another test drive. S-H-A. Abilities. There are natural talents that you were born with. Some people have a natural ability with words. Some people came out of the womb talking. You may not like this story. I'm going to tell it to you anyway because I think I can finagle it so that you will like it. When we were pregnant with Kate and Grace, our daughter, there was a scare at about 13 weeks. I have told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. And we had to rush down to the hospital. And they got the ultrasound thing out where they put the jelly and they put the thing and there's a TV screen and the nurse doing this, you know, saw that I was getting really excited and said, Dad, it's too early to be able to tell the gender. We're not gonna be able to tell the sex today. We're checking the baby's heartbeat, we're checking to make sure everything looks okay. And I said, that's cool, that's fine, yeah, I wanna make sure everything's healthy. And so she gets the thing, and there's little Caden Grace, right? She's like this big, and she just looks perfect, you know, little legs, little arms, big old head like her dad, and her mouth was going like this. And I said, nurse, I already know the gender. You don't have to tell me. That's my daughter. She didn't even wait for she came out of the womb to start talking. She was talking in advance. Other people are naturally good with numbers. They think mathematically. They can't understand why you don't understand calculus or a spreadsheet, right? It's a natural ability. Exodus 31:3 gives an example of how God gives people skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts in order to accomplish his purposes, right? And that Exodus passage is talking about those abilities to be used in building the tabernacle. It's interesting to me that musical talent is not listed as a spiritual gift, but it most certainly is a natural ability that God uses in worship. Harriet, Dan, we appreciate you sharing your natural abilities with us. One of my favorite stories, it was a changing tide story of Bayshore Gardens Community Church, is that someone who is now an elder was coming to church and had said, "Hey, I have the ability to sing." And in a very humble, matter-of-factly way, it wasn't, "I've got to sing, give me the microphone, I want it to be gold-plated." It was very humble. And so we worked on finding a song that was right. And I'm going to tell the conversation we had about wardrobe. Is that okay? Wanting to be respectful to you, Dane came to me and said, "When I sing on that first Sunday, should I dress up?" And I said, "I want you to be you." And so he wore what he wears to church, jeans and tennis shoes. Although today you blew it. You got a collar on, way to go. it was jeans and a t-shirt and tennis shoes and a baseball hat on. Right now, I'd been having problems with the Barbra Streisand microphone that day and the curls around my ear here. And so when it was time to sing, I gave you the nod and you walked up and just led us to this amazing place of worship. Right? You've heard Dane sing, and he has got that ability. And after church, one of you came up to me, and tears were coming down her eyes, and I laughed at the punchline. And she said, "You were having problems with your microphone, and when that young man came up, I thought he was a repair technician, and he was going to fix your microphone. But then he started singing, and I realized he was a worship leader. And you've told us not to judge a book by its cover, but I did it. But then I opened my heart and I was blessed." And so now I got tears because I'm laughing. And I said, "Would you please go tell him?" Some of us have natural abilities that are musical. Some of us don't. But you have a natural ability. One of the most common excuses people give for not getting involved in ministry is, "I just don't have anything to offer." Filtering through a couple bad words. Garbage. It's garbage. Nothing could be further from the truth. National studies, multiple national studies, have proven that the average person, you're at least average, probably more than average, possesses between 500 and 700 skills. But the problem is twofold. First, people need some process of skill identification, right? Second, they need a process to help them match their abilities with the right way to use them. There are people with all kinds of abilities that are not being put to use in this church. Recruiting, researching, writing, landscaping, interviewing, promoting, decorating, planning, entertaining, repairing, drawing, and of course, feeding. These are abilities that should not be wasted. 1 Corinthians 12:5. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. P, personality. Just take a gander, look around at everybody sitting here this morning. It's obvious that God has not used a cookie cutter to make people, isn't it? God made introverts and extroverts. Extroverts, where are you? Really? We're an introverted church? I'm not going to ask their introverts to raise their hands. That would make them uncomfortable. He made people who love routine. Anybody love routine? Everybody get up and go to the gym at the same time every day? Yes. Yeah, there you are. He made people who love routine. He made those who don't love routine. Some people work best when given an individual assignment. Others work better as a team. There's no right or wrong temperament for serving God in His church. We need all kinds of personalities to balance the church and give it the proper flavor. The world would be a really boring place if it were all just plain vanilla. Right? Your personality will affect how and where you use your gifts, your abilities. For instance, two people might have the same gift for outreach, for planning events, for telling people about their faith. But if one is introverted and one is extroverted, that gift is going to be expressed in two different ways. But when you serve God in a manner that is consistent with the personality God gave you, you experience fulfillment and satisfaction. It feels good when you do exactly what God made you to do. You remember the movie Chariots of Fire, right? And as he's running, he says, "When I run, I feel God's pleasure." When we serve God in the way that He's made us to serve, we feel God's pleasure. Experiences. God never wastes an experience, and that includes hurt. God never wastes a hurt. Romans 8:28 reminds us, "We know that in all things God works for the what? Good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." If you're wanting to take notes on this section, I'll give you just a couple experiences to think through. I believe that would be page 3 of your outline. Educational experiences is the first one. What were your favorite subjects in school? You want to take a guess at mine? Lunch, gym, and music. All right? And actually English. Loved English. That might even go ahead of, somewhere. It's in there. What were your favorite subjects in school? Job experience. What jobs have you enjoyed and done well at? Can I tell you one of my favorite jobs? When I was in college, I used to be one of the kids that worked at a Christmas tree lot, right? Helping people pick out Christmas trees because everyone's in a good mood, so I like that. It was low drama. But then there was the moment where they would go, "I want that 10-footer right there," and I'd go, "Okay." Right? It was good. When I was a sous chef, I loved that. People always left feeling better than they did when they came in. They were hungry, they were grouchy, they were hangry. Right? You put a good plate of food in front of them, now they're nice again, right? They're having a good conversation, they walk out, they're in a good place. I like making people feel good, right? Those were jobs I had that I enjoyed. What jobs have you enjoyed? Spiritual experience. What have been the meaningful or decisive times with God in your life? There were a couple summers I did missionary work in Nicaragua. And the first time I went, I didn't know anything more than barroom Spanish, right? And it was amazing. I had such, by day two, I had already was certain, I am going to be a long-term missionary in Nicaragua. This is amazing. Day three, I needed to take a shower. There was only cold water. There was no hot water, and that was the moment I realized short-term missions, that's where it's at for me. I do like America. Yes, I do. Absolutely. How about ministry experiences? How have you served God in the past and enjoyed it? I'm going to ask a couple questions because I think I know the answer. Do you enjoy playing the piano for us?
Yes.
No. Harriet, do you enjoy playing the organ for us? Yes. Do you enjoy singing? Yes. Right? Those are ministry experiences that you enjoy. Here's the last one. Take some time today and this week to dig in on this on your own. Painful experiences. What are the problems? What are the hurts? What are the trials from which you have learned? Because God does not waste a hurt. You walked through the death of a loved one. You know what? Someday there's going to be someone here that's going to walk through that, and they're going to need someone who can listen or sit with them. You had a relationship fall apart. Somewhere down the road, someone else is going to have a relationship fall apart, and they just might benefit from you giving them a listening, non-judgmental ear. God determined your shape for His purpose. So there's no need to reject it, no need to resent it. What right have you, a human being, to cross-examine God? The pot has no right to say to the potter, "Why did you make me this shape?" Surely a potter can do what he likes with the clay. Romans chapter 9. Instead of trying to reshape ourselves to be like somebody else, how about if we celebrate the shape that God has given to each one of us? The best life begins by understanding our shape. You will be the most fulfilled when you use your spiritual gifts, your abilities, your heart, your personality, your experiences in a way that best experiences your shape. I want to remind you that the very best way to find your spiritual gifts is simply to go for the test drive. All kinds of ways for you to get plugged in here. Two things to close with. One, we need you. There are just, I'm going to be very frank, but it comes from a very loving place. There are enough country club churches in America where church is about 60 minutes on a Sunday. We need you to be part of us and to serve. This family, God's church, is dependent upon each member serving their God-given role. And number two, you have to serve in order to grow. Like a body of water that has no flow, you become stagnant. If you're not serving God, you get stale. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. And so you just will not find fulfillment in life until you are doing what God created you to do. By learning your shape, you have the opportunity to connect to your purpose here at Bayshore Gardens Community Church. My prayer is that as you begin serving God within this church, your walk with God will become more vibrant, more real, more fulfilling, more joyful. The test that I told you that I would recommend to you is freeshapetest.com. It's free. It'll help you figure out what your test is. Strangely, my test came back that my strongest gift was teaching and delegating. So go do something. Free shape test. No spaces, just no capitals. Freeshapetest.com. Who's gonna do that this week? I'm excited to, if you want to share your results with me, I would like that. What God made you to be determines what God intends for you to do. Let's pray. God, thank you that you have made us wonderfully complex. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be faithful to that shape which you have given us. Help us to understand with gratitude that you have shaped us for your purpose, for your glory, and in serving you with our shape that we will find joy. Help us to be expectant and hopeful of that joy that we are going to experience. This is our prayer. We pray it in the name of our Savior, Jesus, the one who taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
As the music plays and as the ushers come forward, it is the time for us to offer our lives and the time for our members to offer their tithes. Dear God, you are the giver of all good and perfect gifts. We offer back to you our lives, our shape, for your honor, for your purpose, for the furthering of your kingdom. Also, God, would you take the gifts that have been given this morning as offering? Would you multiply their effectiveness for the furthering of your kingdom? Would you have oversight and guide us how to best use those funds? All praise, honor, and glory belong to you forever and ever. Amen and amen.
But thou art strong, Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snare, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just us the closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus
is mine, just a closer walk with thee, just a closer walk with thee. Daily walking close to thee.
None but thee, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is all, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely home. To thy kingdom show, to thy show. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus
is mine, just a closer walk with thee, just a closer walk with thee. Daily walking close to thee.
Let it be, dear Lord.
Daily walking.
Daily walking close to thee.
Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be,
let it be, let it be.
Let it be, dear Lord. Let it be. One more, let it be, let it be. Dear Lord,
deep breath.
Let it be.
Oh man, is that our first time playing music together?
Yep.
That's our first, man. We've known each other all this time, and that's our first time making music together. Sign of things to come. Yes, please. Cool. You can stay standing for the announcements, because the exercise and the effort, you know, from sitting down to standing up again is just going to make you warmer. Thank you for hanging in here. I know it's warm. I promise you, I know it's warm. And great news about the temperature. In the fellowship hall, air conditioning totally working. Like 64 degrees back there. Right, we're just hanging meat in the back. It's going to be fantastic. We tried to get it to come in here, but it was being stubborn. And you don't know anything about being stubborn, do you? So you can't relate? Oh, okay, you do. Hey, just the only announcement I want, and I think I need to give you, is that last week we started asking for two groups of people. One, volunteers for our, what we're calling the Helping Hands Ministry, and this ties right into the shape, right? That if there are things you can do to help some folks in our community that might need help with some cleaning, some yard work, some laundry, some home repairs, some painting, minor stuff. If you could do that, if you could make some phone calls, if you could do some sewing, that would be good. Secondly, if you need some stuff done, let us know. We want to help. The yard's out of control. You need somebody to step in with a weed whacker. We can find somebody with a weed whacker. You need some sidewalk pressure walked, some clothes sewn, a little bit of organization in the house. We can help with that. So let us know. We want you to serve. We want to serve you. Here's the benediction. Whew. Yeah. As you leave this place, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there, and God has purpose in putting you there. The purpose is this: Christ, who lives inside of you, has something that he wants to do in you, through you, with you. Wherever you are, wherever you go. Believe this. Go from this place. Can I finish the benediction, though?
You gonna announce
the pictures? Okay, no, I can't. Okay, what do I need to announce about the pictures?
Anybody who wants their pictures, come and see
Dottie. Awesome. Fantastic. All right. Where were we? In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you all real good. Thank you for being here today.